Have we started yet? Okay, let's pray in.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful world you've given us, the trees, the moon, all the beautiful things you've given us that we don't pay enough attention to. Thank you for this church and for the message. And please protect President Trump and the people that are trying to help him. Mm-hmm. Please look over this world and please keep us safe and get us out of here pretty soon.
In Jesus'
name. Thank you, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. I was just saying in Jesus' name to get us out of here. You could have prayed longer. I was just like, get us out of here. Got an amen out of me. I'm ready to roll. Oh, man, I hope I haven't heard from none of those generals, Pastor Ben.
None of them?
They were so bold in the beginning.
You know,
I think they've realized it's a bigger bully than they thought.
Yeah. They impeached him again for the second time.
Well, they start the process,
yeah,
but they don't have enough time for all that. Right.
They're scared to death.
Well, they know he could still, he's got the laptop and he can actually call the military to do to shut down everything and do arrest. He still has that power. I hope he does it. I hope, because I don't think it's up to him right now. I think the military, because he's already signed it.
Yep.
He's saying, if this is what you want to do, do it. You can arrest them. But what they're thinking is, am I live? What they're thinking is, if they do a military shutdown and if they do all this, are we going to have to go to war with China over it? Is it worth the war to shut it down and arrest these people? And so we all need to think about that, because there's the Illuminati is very much over a lot of military. Now, the United States military is supreme by all, but nobody really wants to fight the United States, because if we released everything we had, we could destroy the world twice over. But the fact of the matter is, he could do a military shutdown. He could take off the airwaves, shut it down, and be able to give a message to the whole world and tell them exactly and show them exactly, because he could show them all that video that's been confiscated and everything, all that stuff with all of these people on it. This stuff is real, you know what I mean? He could literally, this is my thing, was why didn't they just expose it and then more people would have known what he was doing and why he was doing it? Because they were just putting up with too much. But one of the guys, CIA guys, said, if we expose everything now, we risk the chance of not being able to rescue the rest of the kids. And so they were being slow about it, but I just thought they should have just exposed everything. And
I don't think it's done.
I don't think it's done. I don't think it's done at all. I don't know how the military is going to fall under Biden. They'll be very happy with him. They very much love Trump. But that is, that is a whole world situation that we have to see who's in charge. And I have to explain to you guys, because this is what the Lord had for me today before we came in. See, I never even showed my board, Pastor Ben. I didn't know you were live.
That's all right.
Okay, but I can show it tomorrow. Anyway, but this is what the Lord wanted me to know today. And so I'm sitting outside and the Lord's talking to me about, and he gives me the title. And the title is, fighting evil or fighting the Bible? What are Christians doing now? Are they fighting evil? Are we marching and pulling for Trump because we're fighting evil? Or are we fighting against the Bible? Because if God says it's going to happen, then you find yourself fighting against the Bible. God told me, They're fighting against the word of God. It's like there are things that have to happen for the book of Revelation to happen. And it's not a bad thing that Christians are fighting against evil, but at the same time, they're fighting against the Bible. It's the same thing as the days of Hitler. They had all these Christian military people that were fighting, trying to get rid of Hitler. And now, were they fighting evil? Yes. But they were also fighting against the Bible because they were trying to get rid of him before God said he had to go. So God is like, I'm going to override everything, no matter what the hearts of Christians are. This is still biblical business. You understand? Mm-hmm. And the biblical business has to be taken care of. Let me read something in Jeremiah. It says, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen, he said, because he asked Jeremiah, what did you see? Or what do you see? And he said, I see, an olive branch. And he says, you have seen well. He says, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Okay? And he says, for I will hasten my word to perform it. For I am ready to perform my word. So I'm giving you all the different translations. But he says, I'm watching over my word because I'm going to perform it. It's going to happen. So that means everyone that's fighting against the chip, oh, we'll never, you know, we got to make sure that they stop trying to do this. God already said it's going to happen. So are you fighting evil or are you fighting the Bible? And God wants the church to know and Christians to know and understand it's admirable to want to fight against evil. But you're living in a time where the Bible is forcing itself into the lives of the earth. Okay? So the Bible is like, I'm taking over now. This is what has to go. It's like automatic pilot gets taken over now. So no matter you want to turn left or whatever, God is like, this is where we're going. There are a lot of evil people that got to be put away. And so he has situated them to come into power so that they have the power when the Antichrist comes forth. Because when the Antichrist comes forth, they're going to listen. The people that are in power now, when the Antichrist comes forth, they're going to listen to him.
Yep.
They're going to say, he's our man. This is the person who we've been waiting for. So don't think that God has let us down. Oh my goodness, we thought Trump was going to do this and he was going to do that and he was going to do this. And you may still see it. You may still see something happen. There are a lot of people that are putting out stuff, but I'm just letting you know, in the year that we're living in the time that we're living in, what's going on is the book of Revelation about to be revealed. And for us to pray against the book of Revelation being revealed is fighting against the Bible.
Right.
You understand? Mm-hmm. I want to read something, and the Lord had me to read this before I get started. It says, a mob of several thousand outraged people rampaged through the streets of the city after a long rambling speech by their leader inciting them to do so. Some used violence, windows were broken, shots were heard, there was bloodshed. The leader of the pack demanded the political swamp be drained. After a tumultuous few hours, order was restored and the elected officials emerged from their hiding place. Now, some people think I'm talking about Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021. But actually, I've just read you something that happened in Munich, Germany, November 8th, 1923.
No.
Okay? So, understand, it says the investigators did not come to Munich to support a president who had been voted out. It was the beginning of a fight against Nazi Germany. But in 1923, God says, Nazi Germany is coming. God says, Hitler is coming. Or else Psalms don't speak of an evil man during the time. So the time was coming, and though these wonderful people wanted to fight against the Nazi party coming into power, God was like, but it's biblical. You got to understand, Israel, all these Jews are living in Germany. As a matter of fact, I was studying also something else today. We're going to get to the word. The underground FAUD organization in Rhineland, German, resists Nazism and was the opposition by individual groups in Germany and Nazi regime 1933 to 1935, most of which engaged in activity resisting, including attempts to remove Hitler from power by assassination or by overthrowing the established regime. So they were, through the whole time, they were either trying to assassinate him or get rid of him. And this was an organization. And then it says here, I'm just going to read at the very end, it says, the FAUD was encouraging Jews to leave Germany as early as 1923 because Germany was filled with Jews. And so this group was not only against the Nazis, they were trying to get rid of Hitler, and they were trying to get the Jews, they were trying to get Jews to get out of Germany. Now, all the Jews that left Germany and they had stopped Hitler, the book of Psalms was written before that. And the book of Psalms says this is what's going to happen. So now, this is my message to all Christians. You may think you're fighting evil, but you're fighting against the Bible because the Bible has to happen because of the time you're living in. Okay? So I just want people to know and understand that, okay? Now I can get started with the Bible study.
You want to show your board, Pastor?
Can I show my board? Yeah. All right. Here's the board. I'm gonna pick it up, okay? All right. Now, this is the some of the cards that I've received over the years, I guess about since 2017, since God introduced all of you guys to us. Some of you guys were with us before 2017, as far back as 2006. Yeah. We have people that, you know, were like Karen Fox. I don't remember being S4C without Karen Fox.
I know, right?
But people have been following a long time. And so these are just some of the cards that people sent. Like here, let's see, who is this? We have, what's the? Oh, like, oh, that's Hilda back where she's at. And I forgot, back east or something. And Patricia. And all of these cards are from different people. And I have this guy in the middle because that's the dog with the flying. And most of them, the themes are about fighting, and then our friends in Montreal. And then I always kept this one, but you guys probably thought I threw it away. Here, let me. Oh, no, it opens. So this is my board. That's the family, that beautiful family down there. That's my first internet baptism. They went out to the beach and we baptized them by internet. So all these cards mean something. And there's a Yenny's card and so many people. I guess Lori and a lot of people here that have blessed the church and have encouraged me. So now, if you think I'm discouraged, I have this, plus I have another bag of cards of people telling me, keep going. Even this one, I have it on its side. It says, you have what it takes. I got that card. I remember getting that card right on time because it said, you have what it takes. And I was like, who sent me this? This is very encouraging, right when you're thinking about, what am I doing, right? I can't even read it, it's upside down. But whoever sent me that card, that was like perfect, on time, I needed it, right? So all these cards mean something. And then this is the day the Lord has made. I'll put it on its side for, because that was the day that Christ chose to die on the cross. So anyway, that's the encouragement I needed. because you guys didn't see me in 2010. I was like, I quit. You made me do this. Rapture didn't happen, and you. It was pitiful. Okay. All right. So, I want us to know where we really stand, okay? Because the Lord did something for me, because, you know, you have that thought like, is the Lord really showing me this or is he not, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go into prayer. Then I'm going to ask the Lord again, which he already told me, like I already told you why you keep asking, right? So I said, well, Drea said, can you go in the garage and get a box for me and some stuff for this young lady needs for to throw a wedding or something? So I put on my flip-flops, you know, just going to go outside, just grab this box for her. And I clearly hear the Lord says, don't go out there with flip-flops on, put some shoes on. And I was like, I'm just going to go out and grab a box. And then, you know what I mean? But this is the Holy Spirit listening, and I know to listen, you know? So I put on the shoes, I walk out, I pick up the box, a piece of iron falls out the box and hits me on my foot, but I have on shoes, so it didn't hurt. So I go back in the house and tell Drea, the Lord told me to put on, I'm not crazy. But it's things like this that the Lord does so I know, look, I'm talking to you, I'm leading you, just listen, okay? So we're going to look at today five reasons why the book of Esther hid the rapture. And we're going to see why. We're just going to look at the evidence, and then we're going to say, should we ignore it all and just go about our business here in the last month or so of the 120th year, or should we pay real close attention to it? The first thing I want to do is make sure that we understand this, that from September, you go back August 1, July 2, June 3, May 4, April 5, March is 6 months behind, okay? Behind September. I can't emphasize to you guys enough that the day of Jesus Christ's return to the earth is solid, it's set in stone, we already know. When's he coming back to the earth? Yom Kippur at the end of the tribulation. Okay, so we know that Yom Kippur is a very important day. It's in September. Counting back from September lands us when? March, which is the end of Adar, which is the most significant month in the book of Esther. Okay, now I'm going to read, but I'm going to read from the Bible, so that we know and understand what the crazy guy's talking about. Okay? So in 2 Samuel chapter 2, is it 2 Samuel? Yeah. 2 Samuel chapter 2, I'm going to read this, and I've read it already before, but I'm going to read it because we're going to really go through the five reasons why, okay? It says, meanwhile, Abner and Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth. I'm reading from Psalms chapter 2, verse 8. So Saul's army has taken Ishbosheth, which means defiled man, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, Asheri, Jezreel, and over Ephraim and Benjamin and all of Israel. Okay? So a defiled man becomes king over all of Israel and most of the land. And Ishbosheth was the son, and he reigned. Now David reigned because of this Ishbosheth reigning. David went and reigned in a land called Hebron. that did not belong to the Jews. It belonged to Caleb, which means Gentiles, or which means dogs, right? So he's reigning in Hebron, and he has one tribe with him, Judah, and he has the people of Hebron, which are Gentiles. And he's reigning there, and the scripture says he reigned in Hebron for 7 years and 6 months. Now, if you don't understand typology, you won't understand, or if you don't even understand Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, which says the spirit of the word of God is prophecy. That means from the very moment God begins to talk, he's talking to you about something that's coming. Okay, Bereshit bara Elohim. All of that is talking about what? What's coming. Okay? Bereshit has the whole gospel in it. From the tree to the thorns, everything is in one word, Bereshit. The 6,000 years are in Genesis chapter 1. Everything's in there, so you got to understand. The word of God is prophecy. It's speaking to you about what's coming before God even starts. Okay? So, he's saying David is a king which God has chosen to rule over Israel. God chose him. Jesus is the king that God has chosen to rule over the world. He's already chosen his king. Okay? If you read Proverbs chapter 1, I think it's Psalms chapter 1, he's already chosen his king, and his king is Jesus Christ. Now, are the Jews going to make Jesus Christ king over their land? No. They're going to make Ishbosheth a defiled man. So I'm going to go to chapter 5 in this same book. And I'm going to start reading at as all the tribes of Israel came to David. Now this is it. Now check this out. After the 7 years and 6 months, David goes and he kills Ishbosheth, cuts his head off. Like he told Satan. He says, "Yeah, you'll bruise my heel, but hurt my heel, but I'm gonna bruise your head," right? And when David killed the giant, he cut the giant's head off. Why? Because God is told the prophecy in Genesis, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Okay? So every time you talk evil people, his whole trinity that he set up, and then it says here, after that, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaign. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.'" Now, they knew this. Why didn't they make him king, right? But he has to come back 7 years and 6 months later to fight a war to win them over. "When all of the elders of Israel came to King David at Hebron, the king made a pact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." You hear that? So then he ruled 33 years over here, but 7 years and 6 months he had to go rule in a Gentile area with very few Jews. That's the whole story of the second coming. Okay, so now that situation is with us, we have to see, what is this 7 years and 6 months about? And has God situated it where it's actually going to be 7 and 6 months, because this is his word, and he says what? "I'm watching over to make sure that it is formed." Okay, you're on your notes? So, when does the tribulation start? Daniel chapter 20, chapter 9, verse 27 says, "He will confirm a covenant with the men," 1:7. And if you understand the Hebrew, the Shavua, so for this whole 7 years, he's going to confirm a covenant. But it says in the middle of the 7 years, okay? V'chadzi, so that you know that it's, because if I say, someone asks me what time it is, I say, Smyrna v'chadzi. That means 8:30, because it's the middle, right? In the Hebrew, it says, in the v'chadzi, in the middle of the 7 years, okay? So they're letting you know, God is letting you know, there's going to be a first half of the 7 years, and there's going to be a second half, okay? So it says, in the middle of the 7 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. They can't sacrifice an offering unless a temple is built, so that means a temple is standing. Right. At the temple, he will set an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
Yes.
Okay? So, the tribulation begins what? When he confirms the covenant with the many for 7 years. That's when it'll begin. Okay? So, we know that the Antichrist will rule for 7 years. Why does David have to rule for 7 years and 6 months? And why does he have to go to Hebron, where the Gentiles are, with very few Jews? Because he's telling you the Bible as he's telling every story. Now, let's look, what kind of proof do we have, or what kind of understanding do we have? Now, if I start in February, okay, and I count backwards to March, okay, because Adar lasts from February 13 to March 14th, okay? Adar is the month that God says that is 6 months back from September, counting backwards, will land you in March at Adar. So the fact that it does that, because God is telling me about the peace agreement that's going to be signed September 16th. I'm like, okay. Then he says, now you go count backwards and tell me what month you land on. I count backwards and I land on the month of Adar. And I'm like, wait a minute. You had me studying Esther for the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's all they talked about was Adar. That was the whole Purim festival is in Adar. So I started looking at it. Now let's look at the first thing that, I apologize that I don't remember your name, but one of our soldiers did this, and he's on my Facebook. And he said, hey, Pastor Sandy, do you know that from Yom Kippur, counting backwards, to the end of Adar is exactly 187 days? Why is that important? Why is that important, you guys? Let's go to Esther chapter 1. How long is 180 days? 6 months, 30 days, 6 months, 180. Now watch this though. I'm going to read this. It says, for a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and splendor and the glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the least to the greatest who were in the citadel of Susa. Susa is Lily, which is the symbol of the Star of David. Everyone who comes under this covering, he's throwing a party for. And he says, after the 180 days, then what does he do? Now it's time. Now that I've given you a tour, now what time is it? It's time to have the 7 day, because every bride has a 7 day feast. Check all the books. Samson was preparing for a 7 day feast. Jacob had to make sure that Leah had a 7 day feast before he could even think about marrying the second daughter. So all of these things, so for 7 days after the 180. Now, this is what, brother, I'm sorry, I'm gonna find out who you are and I'm gonna mention your name tomorrow. He says, from Yom Kippur In 2021, this year, counting backwards to the end of Adar is exactly 87 days. That means you got the 6 months plus the 7 days. And then you get the peace agreement. So I went, okay. I told him, I'm going to count it for myself because I said, that's just crazy. So I got to it and I went, okay, 17 days, 31 days, 31 days, 30 days, 31 days, 30 days. In September, you got an additional 18 days, 187 days. Mm-hmm. And I went, is God measuring this? Okay. So that was number one, okay? Now, number two was God asking me, how many times do you think Adar is in the book of Esther? I went, if it's eight, because I think like God. I have the mind of Christ. Because of the way I study, I'm going, if it's eight, God, I'm going to do a flip right here in the living room. You know, because I'm thinking, you know what I mean? It can't be eight, right? So I look it up, and in the book of Esther, Adar is mentioned eight times. The number of Jesus Christ, new beginning. So then, I wrote down all the scriptures. It's Esther 3:7, Esther 3:13, Esther 8:12, Esther 9:1, Esther 9:15, Esther 9:17, Esther 9:19, and Esther 9:21 all have the word Adar in there. Okay? So now God says, well, let's go to a little deeper study. Okay? Glorious in the Bible, how many times is it mentioned? 45 times. 45 times in the Bible has the English word glorious. And I said, well, Lord, the English, he says, I wrote my book. I know how many the words are in it. I put birth eight times as John was talking, as he was talking to Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, I made sure they mentioned the word birth eight times so that you know that that birth be a new beginning. So God is doing things with his word to let you know that I'm in charge of my word. So he says, I put glorious in the Bible 45 times because 15 plus 15 plus 15 is what? 45. 15 is what letter of the Hebrew alphabet? Semek, which is the numerical value of what? 120. So it's 120, 120, 120. So I'm having a good time with the Lord and we're studying. Okay, so it's on the 15th day of Purim that they're supposed to celebrate. Okay, so they're going to celebrate the 14th and the 15th is going to be Purim. Okay, I'm not saying the rapture happens on Purim. I'm just, have you looked at what Adar means? And I went, look, it means glorious. And I went, I thought, you mean as long? Just, that does not, it's just, this Adar in the Bible is talking about the glorious appearance. This is not talking about glorious and beautiful. It's talking about glorious appearance. Okay? And he said, that's two different things. Now, so, so Adar's in eight times, and the word means glorious, majestic, glorious, to make glorious. That's what it means. But glorious has many names in the Greek sometimes, and in the Hebrew, koved means glorious, honored, glorious, abundance. It means to be honored. Koved means like ane koved Yeshua, I honor him. Right. So glorious can mean that too. In Greek, enodosk is means held in good esteem or great esteem. So when he talks about the glorious church, he uses the word enodox, held in great esteem, the glorious church, right? Bless you, Pastor Ben. Then now you're passing it on. Now I get to the scripture that the Lord wants to send me to, and it says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that glorious hope, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I looked up the word glorious, and it had nothing to do with glorious. You know what it meant? I hope I put it down. It means to come with an opinion about a person, rather good or bad. It has nothing to do with beautiful or glorious or respect. It's a word called, what's the word called? D-O-X-A. And it means with opinion, to come with opinion, rather good or bad, concerning someone. I said, that's what glorious means? Yes, because Jesus is coming in his glorious appearance. He's coming in his glorious appearance. Well, what's the glorious appearance? Does it mean he's coming in majesty? No, he's coming with an opinion, rather good or bad, concerning people. So God is playing a different role with the words that he's using when he talks about glorious judgment, rather good or bad, concerning people.
Wow.
And that's Titus chapter 2, verse 13. So now I said, well, I didn't say it. I'm going to say the Lord said, well, you better look up the numerical value of Adar. So I look up numerical value of Adar. It's 205. Then I said, well, let me see if that has anything to do with the rapture. I punch it in, and it comes up. It says, Le Natsal, to the rapture. Numerical value 205 is the word in Isaiah chapter 20, verse 6, which says, and how shall we not sound? And how shall we not sound? How shall we escape? How shall we not sound means rapture. So I took that from that word is in Isaiah 20, verse 6. It's the word to the rapture, okay? In the Hebrew. Now, so I go back and I say, well, we're talking about going all the way back to considering 17 now, Lord, because 8 and 9 is judgment, and 9 is judgment, 8 is new beginning and new birth. So now I'm back at 17 because Jesus resurrected on the 17th.
Right.
And the flood started on the 17th. And so the things that have to be in line with God, if Jesus says, it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. There are certain numbers that have to be in line to make it as it was in the days of Noah. Okay. Well, are we at 17? We're 5, right? We did 4. Here's 5. Okay. So what are the numbers in Genesis chapter 11? In the 600th year of Noah's life, Jesus says it will be as it was in the days of Noah. We're in the 6,000th year. We know that. 2017, we hit the 6,000th year.
Yeah.
We are 3 days past the 6,000th year. Perfect time for a new beginning, a resurrection. So now it says here, Noah was 600 years old. We all know that it was 120 years since he gave him the understanding that the flood was coming. And then it says in the second month, but the second month is now the eighth month, but there are 8 times mentioned the month of Adar in the book of Esther. So this is when I put the book down and I said, Lord, did you hide the rapture in Esther? He says, read Genesis. And I read Genesis, and Cain says, this curse that you have set on me is too much. Now I will be chased by other people, and I will be Esther all the days of my life, because I study in Hebrew. People are like mad at me because you use NIV. I'm studying Hebrew. And he says, you will Esther me. I'm like, wait a minute, Esther's a name. No, Esther means hidden. Because in the book of Esther, you never find the name of God because everything is hidden. So it's hidden. Esther hid her what? Her identity until it was time to rescue, right? He said, now you got it. I hid things until it's the proper time. It's hidden until the proper time. If Esther had revealed who she was before, it wouldn't have been the proper time. God had to do it in a perfect time. So Esther was hidden. Her name means hidden. There's no mention of God in the Bible, so you have to find it yourself, and you would have to decode it in Hebrew to be able to find it. So God said, so I'm like, did God hide hide the rapture in the book of Esther? So let's go to, well, we read the book of Esther. I don't want to read that part again, but I do want to read Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Let's go there. It says, after the sixth day, remember, 6,000, sixth day, 600. Jesus looked with him, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. In 7:1, okay, what do we know about Moses? He died. But he's standing here with Jesus and he's alive. What is about Elijah? He never died. He was taken up. So this glorious appearance of Jesus is with two different types of people. Those who have died but been resurrected, and those who have what? Never died but have been resurrected, and it's after the sixth day.
Yeah.
Now, there's only one other place where it talks about what happened here. And where is that? In the 17th book of, in the last 17th book of the Bible, which is 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 17. Because God is fun. Okay, so chapter 1, verse 17, it says this. These men are springs without water. Ooh, wait a minute. Am I in 1? I was in 2, right? It's in chapter 1, verse 17. I'm sorry. And it says, For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from majestic glory, saying, this is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard the voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So this is mentioned again where? First chapter 1:1-7. First chapter verse 17. Okay? And it talks about what? The event that happened back on the mountain when they were with Jesus and they saw Elijah and they saw Moses. And now in the 17th book of the Bible. Because remember, the 3 17th books of the Bible are linked. You guys understand this? When I'm talking about a link, I'm saying there's 66 books because there's 22 Hebrew letters. The first 17th book is Esther. Two books later would be Psalms, right? So the 17th book is Esther, which talks about what? His glory is coming, the rescue of Israel, this party and feast that he gives for 7 years and 6 months. Okay? Now, the next 17th book is what? Malachi. And Malachi is talking about what? The judgment of the priests and the coming of the Lord. Parousia, the coming of the Lord, is the focal point of all 17th books. So in Malachi, here, let's read a little bit of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. Let's read that. I'm going to go back to Malachi because I got it marked.
10 minutes.
Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. What does it say? It says, my name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. Now, whose Bible says my name will be great among the Gentiles? If you have a King James, it's going to say my name will be great among the Gentiles, because Goyim means Gentile nations, okay? My name, he says, he's speaking to the Hebrew priests, telling them they haven't done what they were supposed to do. But my name is going to be great among the Gentiles. It's going to be great. And the second one, it says, in some books, it'll be great amongst the heathens. Mm-hmm. But they're using the word heathens as Goyim also, because it means the Gentile nations. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is going to make his name great among the Gentiles, and he establishes it in Malachi. Then we go to Malachi verse 2:6, and it says, true instruction was in his mouth. He's talking about Levi, the priest, right? And I should read, I'm going to start reading, and it says in verse 4, and you will know that I have sent you this admonition so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord Almighty. My covenant was with him, because he made Levi the priest, right? A covenant of life and peace. And I gave them to him. This called for reverence, and he revered me and stood in awe of me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and nothing false was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many from sin. For the lips of a priest ought to preserve knowledge, and from his mouth men should seek instruction. So he's really chastising the priesthood of Israel because they have not done what Levi did, and that was to preach the truth. But he says it's okay, but because my name, even though it's not honored among the Jews, it will be honored among the Gentiles.
Yes.
And so the first party happens where? At Hebron. With few Jews, because there are some Messianic Jews that are getting saved, but the majority of the church are. And this is where the party happens. This is where for 180 days, we get a tour. And this is for 7 days after, we get a wedding feast. Okay, and then now I'm going to tell you about a disobedient wife and how I chose another wife and came under a new covenant and then went back and rescued them. Okay, so The scriptures are staying in line with what God is doing. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's go back to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. How much time I got, Pastor Dan?
All right.
2 Peter chapter 3. Now remember, 2 Peter is a 17th book. Mm-hmm. 8 plus 9, this is judgment and what? This is judgment and new beginning, okay? This is the glorious appearance. Because what they're mocking us about is what? Where is the coming? Where's the parousia that you were talking about? Because all the 17th books are talking about what? The coming of the Lord. Where is it? That's what they're teasing them about, okay? But he wants to let them know that it's coming. Okay, so let's begin in verse 3. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. That's why I don't worry about people who tell me, stop talking about the rapture. Because God has something for them. They will say, where is the coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everyone goes on as if as it has been since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget. Mm-hmm. It's human nature. We deliberately forgot about 911.
Yep.
We deliberately forgot that video and tapes were found on Hillary Clinton that exposed her for pedophile. We forget about things. We forget about that the Clintons went to Pedophile Island. We forget about that. And we go, well, it's because Satan knows the nature of human beings. You can experience stress, but you have something in you that protects you from it becoming a full part of you, and that's the ability to forget about it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
What does man learn from history? Nothing. That's what they learned, okay? We have to learn from history. We forgot about Hitler. We forgot that Hitler killed millions of people in a 6-year time. We forget about it. So we don't think that the book of Revelation can come true. But the Bible is telling us the book of Revelation is about to come true. You're fighting against the word of God. You're not fighting against evil because you can't fight what I'm setting up. Your job is to be prepared to leave. Their job is to come forward and to present a covenant of 7 years and to subdue the world under the Antichrist. Their job is to set up a tribulation system that causes everyone who will not believe in the Lamb of God to receive a mark in his hand or his forehead. God said, I wrote that in 90 AD. That's coming. Yeah. I'm watching over it to make sure it comes.
Yeah.
And you're marching? You should have been praying. But he had to let them know, you tried it in 42, but I said he lived to 45. Where did I say that? In Psalms 45. You tried to do it again in 43 and you missed that one because why? Because Hitler was part of scripture and he couldn't die till 1945 because Esther said he's going to die in 45 and then his 10 henchmen are going to be killed in 1946 after September, which will be 707, 1947. So God has already written what's going to happen. You can't stop evil from because a guy comes forth named Goliath, defiant, ready to destroy him. Everyone was afraid of him. He's 6 cubits tall. He has 6 pieces of equipment on. And his spear weighs 600 pounds.
666.
And there is David standing there, confident as Mike Tyson fighting Pee Wee Herman. He's standing there like, who are you defying? And he says, y'all bring out this little bitty rut to fight against me? And he says, but you don't know what I have. He put the rock inside of the sling. Because I'm not going to destroy you. The rock. The rock numerical value is 296 Zora, which is times 3 of Trinity, 888. Jesus. So God is already telling you, nobody's going to destroy the 666 giant but the rock. So you marching is not going to do the giant. The giant is coming. He will subdue the world. The whole world will worship the beast. Those whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because in the tribulation, some people are going to say, I believe in Jesus now. I was with my cousin. He was born again. He disappeared right in front of me. I'm with Jesus. I don't care if I die. I will never take the mark.
That's right.
And a lot of people, the Bible says, a number that no one can count are going to say, we're not taking the mark.
Sure did.
We realize now that there's life after this because they told me they were going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I scoffed them. And I said, don't you talk to me about that rapture anymore. I'm tired of hearing about it. I just want to go to church. Let me be me. And now the day happens, and now they get this bravery. Oh, my goodness, I've got to live for God now, because now we're going to go through the tribulation.
Yeah.
He said, Pastor Sam, you talk about this with such confidence. Listen, God told you the exact year Israel would come back into the world. And it happened.
Yep.
And he told you 19 years later, they're going to get Jerusalem back.
Yep.
God waited 1948 and did that. He told you that Gaza would be forsaken in the middle of the day. And it happened in the middle of the day.
Yep.
So when are we going to believe God? I'm going to believe him now. I'm going to preach his word strong now, because I'm trying to tell the children of God, prepare yourselves to leave.
Yeah.
Get out of the silly mentality of I can sin all I want and still go to heaven. And still, the rapture is for a very unique type of people. The rapture is not for lukewarm Christians.
Amen.
And there is such thing as lukewarm Christian, because haven't read the Bible and who knows, haven't prayed and who knows when. People know you're a Christian because you party with them, you do everything with them. And then you say, oh, but I'm still going because 5 years ago I said the magic prayer at a church. I just don't want to live that life.
Mm.
So I'm saying the day is coming. You're living at the edge of it. That's why what we're seeing happening in front of our eyes is blowing our mind, especially mine. You know why? When those generals came forth and said, Hillary's done, the Rothschilds are done, the Illuminati's done, we got them. I went, is this about to happen? They sent this. One of the guys, I don't want to give his name, but he sent me a list, like these are the things that are going to happen. I'm like, wow. And they were happening one. Say, pedophiles are going to be arrested in big numbers. He says, we're going to blow up underground camps and rescue children. This is what's going to happen. And then in his second term, we're going to take over the Federal Reserve and redo the whole finance of the whole world. And they're going to see that America is the most powerful. And I was like, man, you guys have some big dreams. But it was happening in front of my eyes. I was watching Dr. Pechenik like this. Oh my goodness, these people, they are 200 generals. They have the whole military behind them. But now look, they pulled it off. They said, okay, our move, pandemic.
Yeah.
Our move, fires everywhere. Our move. And they just kept moving until even last week. We're going to write on Nancy Pelosi's house, and we're going to say it was Trump supporters. And we're going to send people in to the leader of Black Lives Matter is inside the Capitol building. You think he was there to support Trump?
Mm-hmm.
You think he was the only one there? No. Antifa was inside. But now it was only because of Trump that all of that violence happened. No, you sent the people, you paid for them to be there. But now, we understand. And what we understand is the Bible. Acts. Wise man gave them, the officers, some advice. He says, why are you fighting against these men, these apostles, who are preaching the gospel? Because they told me to preach anymore. He says, if they are of men, they'll disappear and they won't be successful. But if they're from God, you find yourself fighting against God. We can march as much as we want, but tribulation's coming. You got to understand that.
Yes.
So God is not expecting you to turn the political world, help turn the political world right side up so that you can not have mortgage and get the economy reset and have the biggest revival in the church so you can be a mega pastor. That's not the plan. You're not living in 1901. You're living in the 120th year, 2020, until Nissan. So Adar's a big month for us.
Yeah.
And I'm praising God.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You guys made it, man. I was outside the clock. I was like, I gotta hurry up.
<Thank you.
laughs> Okay.